Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, please let everyone know who's joining us today.
I would love to. He's a comedian and author. You've seen him in the comedy troupe Derek, and he's also written the books The Boy Who Couldn't Sleep and Never Had To and Crap Kingdom. It's DC Pearson.
Yay.
Hey, you two. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being
Thank
on
you.
Our show, DC.
My pleasure.
Thanks for being here. DC, kind of related to the movie, have you ever hacked anything? Were you into hacking culture?
Not to my knowledge. I was into it. I think it's a twofold question. I was into it insofar as I like would, when I was the age that like this movie came, when I was like 12 or 13, I would like buy old computers at garage sales and be like, I'm going to do something with these, and then just not do anything with them.
I'm just going to put wires in different places and see what happens.
Yes, exactly. Yes, which is very this movie, I feel like. It's just a lot of technology, and you're like, I don't know what it does, and I, for myself, never found out.
Neither did the screenwriter. No.
Did you ever dabble in like any like sort of like computer animation or anything like that?
I did a little bit. I remember there was a on some version of Windows, they had a type of program called Microsoft GIF Animator. So it was like, basically it was a way to make animated GIFs before it was like, it was kind of like before we knew like what they were really meant for, which is like reactions on Twitter to like things that you don't like, where it's just like, okay, and now it's an animated GIF. And I remember making a thing with like the Teletubbies, and they would like murdered each other. Like that was it. That was like the level, and that was the era and level of humor that we were dealing with.
Do you have access to these at all?
I'm sure they're somewhere. They must be on
a floppy disk at some sort.
House. Yeah. Yes, sure, exactly.
Every term, your teacher's just dragging things to the trash can. Delete empty trash.
My oeuvre.
What have you done? I remember we had in high school, I think our computers were old, but maybe not. They were just literally just monitors that were like tube monitors, and everything was green.
Yep.
And we had an animation like week, and I did a thing of like a little bunny hopping down a road, and then a car pulls up, passes by it, stops, backs up, and turns the bunny into a circle, like it splatters, and then the car drove off, and I was pretty proud of that.
You told a story through pictures.
I told a story. Pixar.
Oh, Coco had death too. In it. Yep.
John, do you ever, what's your hacking background?
I remember in like grammar school, we got that, like, was when my school first got computers. It was a very big deal. And so the first program was called Logo, and there was like a turtle, and you could use it to like draw things, but like you had to program it to be like forward 10. And like, it was just all very, very sort of rudimentary. But like it was just basically like half the year was just spent like trying to draw a picture of like a face. And that was my big...
It is kind of fun to think, like, I remember one of the first things, like, seeing the internet for the first time. Like, I remember a friend showing me, this is a hyperlink. If it's blue, you can click on that. And then that'll take you somewhere. And I remember one of the very first things I saw was, like, for the local radio station. And it was literally a turd in a toilet bowl. And I think that pretty much summed up the internet for me away. Like, this is what to expect.
That's like the first scene of a movie about the history of the internet right there. Like the cold open.
I was like, oh.
I remember the first computer my family got was an Apple IIe. And it was like 126K. And I remember like my dad and his friends being like, well, you're never going to need more memory than that. Like, you're set. Like, that's it. You bought your family computer, which you will pass down to your children and their children.
Yes.
And that's it. Yep. It's like a cast iron skillet. It's all it is. It'll just keep getting better with age the more you use it.
Yes, it's very seasoned.
Exactly. Yes.
It's really some of the old data is still in the
really seasoned. It adds so flavor. Nice. Yeah. Texture. It's so great.
Don't wash it in the dishwasher.
No, not at all.
You'll lose the marinade. Well, speaking of marination, no.
Perfect.
Today, we're talking about the movie Hackers. John, what's the deal with Hackers?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Hackers. It was directed by Ian Softley, written by Raphael Moreau, and the film follows a group of high school hackers in their involvement in a corporate extortion conspiracy. It was made when the internet was unfamiliar to the general public, and it reflects the ideals laid out in the Hacker Manifesto, which according to the film is, this is our world now, the world of the electron and the switch. We exist without skin color, without nationality, without religious bias. And you call us criminals. Yes, we are criminals. Our crime is that of curiosity. It stars Johnny Lee Miller, Angelina Jolie, Jesse Bradford, Matthew Lillard, Lawrence Mason, Renali Santiago, Lorraine Bracco, and Fisher Stevens. It was released on September 15th, 1995, and was a pretty big disappointment at the box office, grossing only $7.5 million off a budget of $20 million. It received mixed reviews from the critics, and Peter Stack of the San Francisco Chronicle wrote, "Want a believable plot or acting? Forget it. But if you just want knockout images, unabashed eye candy, and a riveting look at a complex world that seems both real and fake at the same time, Hackers is one of the most intriguing movies of the year." And that is the deal with Hackers.
And it is now considered a cult classic, I would say. I would tack on to that.
Okay.
just to be fair, we don't want to be biased. DC, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Hackers?
I picked Hackers because it is a cult classic to me. I have very fond memories of it at watching it. I remember being aware of it coming out and being like, both my parents worked in like technology. And so being very sort of like aware of the idea of hacking, and it just seemed really cool. And then this movie is the perfect that, because it's like high school kids, which at the time I was like 12. So that in and of itself seemed really like cool and whatever. And also it helps that they're all played by 28 people who are minimum 28 years old. So that seemed really cool. And then I didn't get to see it in theaters, but then I remember, and I don't know exactly why, but there was like a Friday night where it was on pay-per-view, and we didn't order pay-per-view movies a lot. Like, this was like, it was such a foreign concept, but for whatever reason, I got to order Hackers on pay-per-view and eat a microwave French bread pizza.
There you go. One of the best nights of your life.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a perfect sort of like media and food intersection memory. And it was everything I wanted it to be. It seemed super cool. It doesn't actually make any sense. And I still love everything about it. I love the style. I love the inanity. I love the just hearing the actors try to get their mouths around things that, you know, the screenwriter was like, that's actually real. And it's so great. I Fisher Stevens is great. Lorraine Bracco is great. It's phenomenal. It just is like, there's so much happening. It's so incredibly 90s too. Mm-hmm. Like there's just a weird like idealism to it. It just seems like it's basically like there's like young cool people and then there's old mean like, you know, right. greedy people, but there's no other like axes on the spectrum other than that, like ideologically or anything. It's just so innocent in that way. And it's also weirdly like a very like cartoon 90s New York with like the weird hackery underground meets kind of like 60s village hippie thing going on meets like rave culture and like club culture. It was like, it is, I love it. It's great. I love everything about it.
Well, awesome. How many times have you seen it, would you say?
Not very many times. I would say this is maybe the third or fourth time I've seen it. Yeah.
Great. John, what's your background with Hackers? Give us the download, as they say.
Let me download my my browser history with Hackers. I had never seen it before. I didn't really know much about it. It was funny when I mentioned to my husband, you have to watch Hackers. He was like, oh, I've heard of that movie. So I watched it last night for the very first time. And it's weird because like, on the one hand, I really can't say it's good in any actual way, and yet it was so enjoyable, and yet like I really enjoyed it, and like as dumb as it is, it was fun, and I sort of, for whatever reason, rather than rolling my eyes at it, it just made me laugh all of the stupidity of it, like just those moments like where all the guys find Angelina Jolie, the one girl hacker, like her laptop, and they're all like impressed, and she's like, yeah, I tried to triple the RAM on it, and I was like, no one knows what you're talking about, that doesn't make sense. And then like later when they're like trying to like fight the big corporation, she goes, guys, everyone use their best viruses on this because this is really important. And you're like, what is anybody talking about? And yet for some reason, I found it delightful. It was like so absurd. I actually was, while watching it, I was like, and I wasn't high, but I was thinking like, I want them to do like a Saturday morning cartoon, like reboot of this where everyone is like a non-binary character. Like, I think like that would be a wonderful sort of second life for this movie Hackers. Like, again, it's like, it makes no sense. It's dumb. And yet, I had a great time. I can't deny it. Absolutely. How about you, Mark? What is your history with the movie Hackers?
I feel like I'd been familiar with it a lot, but I had never seen it. And as a child of, I'm a Gen Xer, so I feel like it should have been right up my alley. I thought it was a hoot. I mean, it's just fun. It's also one of the more confident movies I've ever seen. Like it does know exactly, you know what I mean? Like, it has such like an assured sense of style. Like it is like garish, but in all the fun ways. And like, yes, how they present the internet is ridiculous, but it's also a way I wish the internet was. Like, sure. It's like, this is a better version of like how like I wish the internet looked like this. This is so much more fun and exciting. And the character, it just seems like everyone's having a blast. It's just like a fun, like it's almost like Goonies with laptops or something.
Yeah,
but it's also like has surprisingly like progressive elements to it that like really hold up. Like there's lots of gay people in it and like, you know, people of color, and like for a movie especially from the mid-90s, that feels like pretty rare. So I think it's like a really fun, just like a classic underdog taking down the big bads, but in like with such a fun, unique style that is so mid-90s, but I feel like it's perfectly encapsulated in this. So I think it's like a great fun, and you're never bored. It moves like a bullet. And you got the one of my favorite 90s hunks, Johnny Lee Miller, in it. So who I've loved since Trainspotting. So what more do you want in a movie?
So, DC, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge the movie. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at a certain point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. Does that make sense right now?
It
of
does,
course
yes.
not. Oh, it does? Okay, great. Perfect. That's rare.
Very evolved.
Yeah. So this is our current top five gayest movies ever. These are the current top five. This is their score, their percentage score. So number five with an 83% is Clue. Number four with an 85.19%, The Lost Boys. Number three with an 86.92%, Death Becomes Her. Number two with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one, current reigning champ with a 94.83% is Female Trouble. So if you had to guess, DC, where do you think Hackers could end up? Any predictions?
I would say Hackers, and this is part of why I picked it. I felt like when I was just trying to think about like, what are fun movies that I really enjoy that I don't immediately think of as being like, oh, that's sort of a like queer or like camp classic. Right. I was thinking like, I don't think this movie is necessarily going to like probably rate, but I think it bats above its weight class more so than you would think just based off of a movie from the mid 90s called Hackers. Do you know what I mean?
Like, sure, yeah.
There's just a lot of very like aesthetically campy, fun, over the top elements. And as you guys were pointing out, and I had kind of forgot like several like queer presenting and like, or like overtly queer characters and just like a lot of just like different people in New York in the 90s, which to me just sort of felt very like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like it just felt very right. like, not just gay, but also like diverse in a way that you wouldn't necessarily think given what we imagine literal hackers as being. And especially given like, now weirdly, I was realizing part of, I think what makes the movie feel so idealistic is like, when I think like hackers or people like doing mischief on the internet, now we just think of like, Russian military intelligence yeah, yeah. or like white supremacist yes. like 15-year-olds, you know yeah. what I mean, like that's yeah. those are who we think of now. So weirdly it kind of, there's a very sort of like idealistic, beautiful kind of different way that this movie is presenting the idea of literal hackers, which I like.
Well, their only crime was curiosity. And if that yeah. doesn't describe a gay person, I don't know
exactly.
What. So our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're all going to give a score between 0 and 100. Then we take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, DC, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate Hackers in actual gay characters?
I would say, I mean,
there's quite a few. There's at least three.
Who would you say? Because I don't think anyone really came out and said they were gay, did
right,
they?
Literally.
Ramon. You don't think he's...
Which one was the Ramon?
The guy Freak. In all the animal print. Freak.
Oh, Freak. He never said, because I was looking that up.
But you
just
looking
up the actor.
Gay?
Oh, yeah. He reminded me very much of former guest on the podcast, Oscar Montoya.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, if they remake Hackers, which everyone's chomping at the bit to do, you got to get him in to at least audition. I mean, yes, he did, but he never came out and said it. He didn't have a love interest. But yeah,
well,
I mean,
neither did Matthew Lillard, you know what I mean? And but there's a difference there. You know what I mean? One reads gayer than the other. I think it's pretty clear
Matthew
that Ramon
Lillard,
is gay.
I don't know. All
it's
right.
It's not explicit. He's not a zero. And also Razor and Blade.
Razor and Blade definitely felt like they were meant to read as like gay to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're
How
brothers.
Could
I don't
you?
Know. Yeah.
What privilege
no,
of you to
I
make
wrote
those
them down. Yeah. I think there's at least three. And then there's also like drag queens at the Razor and Blade rave.
Yeah, there are a lot of like raves going on where like, of course there's gotta be some like that. Whoever was wearing the chandelier as a hat, that person.
You think? We don't want to stereotype.
Do we think that the guy that the movie Party Monster is based on was at that rave or was in charge
of... It's a shared universe?
Like, yes.
Michael Alig, is that his name?
The Michael yes. Alig cinematic
yeah, yeah.
universe.
Yeah, oh God.
There was really only one rave in all of history and every movie that...
So I would say again, it's like grading it on a curve of how much you would think it would be given just the baseline of Hackers. I would say like 7.
A 7 out of 100?
Out of 100?
Like, oh, out of 100. 100%. I would say a 70. I would say a 70 out of 100.
70.
Yeah, I think there definitely are. And I think if had this movie been made, like probably even like 3 years later, some of these characters would have just had a sentence where they're like, I like boys, but they didn't. So I'm going to give it a 35.
35. I'm going to go right in the middle. I'm going to go 55. That's not right in the middle, but it's close enough.
Close to the middle.
Giving it an average of 53.33, which is 10 points higher than the Family Stone.
That has okay.
Two out gay people okay. in a couple.
Okay, I might have blown the curve a little bit.
No, no, you're fine.
Right. That's why we all give a score. It's all right.
I'm going to dial it in as it goes. But I will say, though, Matthew Lillard's character does not read as gay to me. Maybe it's because he's so into, like, 60s music or something. He just feels more kind of a like pushy hippie like straight guy from back that who's just like into that. I feel like that's more of a like 90s type, is just the sort of like weirdo straight guy who like is always doing stuff with his nipples or whatever. But
he's a drug person. He's into heroin. Yeah, he's a drug person.
Yeah, who sort of is like, maybe, I don't know, what do you think? Do you want me to be? But like, does anyone other than Matthew Lillard actually play that part in movies?
No,
like I think it's like he created like a sort of character, and then no one else was like, when everyone was like, you're the only one who could do it.
Him and Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, our next category, it might do okay here. John probably wouldn't think so, but maybe I do. We'll find out. How about I just say it? Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Hackers and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I think so. I think the fashion in this, I think that's part of what just makes it so fun and ridiculous, is that like, yeah, again, sort of like to your point earlier, GZ, of like, no hacker ever dressed like this. Like no one, but it's just like an insane constant parade of ridiculous trendy clothes that even like no one ever really wore probably.
I remember some of these looks.
Sure, they were on runways, but never like in actual reality. You know what I mean? Like there was so much of that.
Sure.
One of my favorite was your boyfriend, John Lee Miller. He had like
Johnny, thank you.
Johnny, I beg your pardon, respect.
Not a sick boy fan, John?
He had like a red mini, like thin belt that also like had like an extra thing over one of his thighs. It was like Cyndi Lauper was like, I don't want this, you take it.
Absolutely.
So like, I'll I think fashion wise, absolutely. I think this movie is definitely,
it is such like a particular 90s look, you know, it is such mm-hmm. like a particular aesthetic that I feel like existed for like 15 months or something. And then it was gone. Yeah. Like Stereo MC's career. You know?
A lot of it felt like it could be like a Drag Race like found materials challenge, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like when Johnny Lee Miller's doing the scene of being the like, he's like, he has floppy disks that he's using, like guns that he's like a gunslinger or whatever, you know. It just felt very like, the aesthetic felt very sort of like it's an overlap of like 90s and just literal computer parts.
It's almost like their fashion was hacked, you know. They're hacking the runway, you could say. Hack the runway, ladies. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That could be a challenge. I could see them doing a hacking challenge. I mean, I don't know if it would be good, but it might be fun. So what do you want to give this, DC, for drag queen inspiration?
Again, I think it bats above its weight class. And I also think it's like, it's kind of a unique, different world to pull from. So I would give it like a 75.
75.
I'm going to go actually higher because I think the looks, and I also feel like Angelina Jolie is sort of like, I could be Peter Pan. You know what I mean? Like she's really like
Pixie. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go 88.
88. This is also like the time when like, oh, swimwear could be evening wear.
Yeah.
Like Quicksilver was king, you know, metallic fabrics could do no wrong. I'll give it a 77. Giving it an average of 80, which is about 70 points higher than Air Bud. Pretty good.
Okay, all right.
All right, next category, gay icons. How would you rate Hackers on gay icons? Well, the one that stood out for me And it's a blink and you miss it. Right. Felicity Huffman.
Right. She's really? she's the attorney at the very beginning. Before the credits.
And especially now, post-college admissions scandal.
I know, it was very...
I feel like her gay icon status is only elevated because of that. She has an actual real-life scandal now.
That's
true. That's gotta help.
That only helps for the gays. She's Desperate Housewives.
Yes.
I mean, what about Angelina Jolie? Like, what do we think of her?
Absolutely. Salt.
Oh, yeah, the gays are always quoting Salt. There was that iconic Salt runway challenge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
You're right. You're right.
I'm probably more Maleficent. I mean, she is
sure,
Maleficent.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's it for her. But
and
even
the whole,
the
whole Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston thing, you know, I think Angelina Jolie, she's not a gay. Like, you could see someone doing her in Snatch Game. She'd be tough, but you could do it.
Well, okay.
Just always bring up UNICEF, I guess, or something, right?
Or double mastectomy, if you want to be really dark about it.
I think she'd be one of those people that's like, it's. I think she'd be one of those people that's like begging, the person's like, oh, they're really famous and they have a very defined look, but then Rue's going to hit you with like, how are you going to make Angelina Jolie funny?
Yes, exactly.
And right, then you're really like on the spot.
I always think just
then
have
they get
her
that
be
weird
like she...
noise and then they still do it.
Boom. I just thought, why don't they just do like, oh, she was just in a car accident or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bird stuck in her hair. Just add something. Just make an unusual choice. It doesn't have to be about, you know what I mean? Just do something. That's always my pitch.
Why
anyways.
Are you not a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race?
I don't know. I like just make, I mean, sometimes any choice is better than no choice.
That's
well,
true.
Of course.
That's very true. And I do think a lot of queens freeze and they end up going with no choice. And I feel like right? Angelina Jolie is that bait.
Lorraine Bracco?
I was thinking about that too, but I'm like, her big thing is like Sopranos, which is not a gay show, and like a couple appearances on Top Chef.
There
is not
a gay character though on Sopranos. Let's not
yeah
forget.
That's the first thing everyone thinks about when they think of Sopranos is the gay character.
It's not the last thing I think about. I'm just saying it's not a zero.
Okay.
And her role in Goodfellas is pretty great.
She's great. I'm not saying she's not good, although I think in this she seemed to have a hard time finishing sentences. But
I don't know why she's in the movie, frankly, her character.
That did. I felt like I was thinking about that, and I realized towards the end, I was like, oh, I think they need somebody for Fisher Stevens to explain things to.
Yes.
Because
yes.
If he's just by himself, there's no reason for him to be like she keeps having lines. Like I wrote one down where she was like, rabbit, flu shot, someone talk to me. Like yeah. She's just,
yeah, I love that.
80% of her dialogue was just going, what? Was just like asking questions.
And she still never seemed to get it at the end.
No.
No. And I will say when she's being brought into jail at the very end with her sunglasses and people are like grabbing at her, that's a little Chicago.
Yes.
Thank you.
She had it coming. Absolutely.
So what do you want to give this for gay icons?
It's pretty low, I would say. I mean, you know, I would say it's probably like a 21.
21.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I got Jolie. I'll go 26.
Wow, no love for Gia around here. I'm going to give it a 40. Call me crazy, but the Felicity Huffman of it all. giving it an average of 29, which is 19 points higher than Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Okay, good. All right, next category.
Wow, take that, George Carlin. Sorry, anyway, go ahead.
Right?
We stan him.
Carlin Hive? Are you guys Carlin Hive?
Absolutely. All right, next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Well, not so much.
I mean, you definitely, the women are definitely sexualized a lot more than the men. Uh-huh. I think that's the tell.
We have like Johnny Lee Miller in a shower, but it's like from back the shoulder, like over his shoulder. So it's really nothing like, and then you get a bunch of butts in this.
Right.
Like Matthew Lillard, you got the other guy, what's his name? Johnny something, Jesse Bradford. Like,
but he's the baby in this.
Yes, he is. He was like the only one who actually was of high school age. But you see him coming out of a shower in a little towel on. Don't blame
me.
That's
true. And they also have that weird Kate's dream where she's dreaming of Johnny in like the fetish dress thing, which I thought that was pretty male gazy. You know, it's definitely her looking at a man and being turned on.
Right, but like a man who was in a dress, so you could tell the director was like, "Whoa."
But she was like turned, she wasn't like grossed out by it. I don't know. To me, I don't think it was played necessarily for laughs. Did you think that was played for laughs?
I think it was meant to be like shocking, not like exciting.
Sure. I mean, it's a fine line.
I also think like there's a lot of just like guys looking good in it. Like Johnny Lee Miller just like looks good and cool in his little like turtleneck. And again, just very like 90s like magazine spread, like really cool looking guy. But I wouldn't say they're like fetishized in the same way that like Angelina Jolie is.
Right. And I did think it was interesting that the virus was like this weird Vitruvian Man animation.
Yeah.
Like what was, like, I don't think that's how, even then I was like, I don't think that's how computers work, but great.
That is one thing, another thing that I do love about this movie that feels very wonderfully over the top is that clearly if you're a hacker in this time, you spend a lot of time just like figuring out like what your look is and what the, and then the animation's gonna do this and I'm gonna record some voiceover for it. And I might have to, in the case of that Vitruvian Man, like hire an actor. You know what I mean? I'm like putting an ad in Backstage to be like, okay, you know, what's your hair length? You know, come in and like read for it.
Well, I was a virus for acid burn.
Do you have any virus experience?
I played toe fungus. Is that?
And I also was taken aback by that. And I saw in the credits at the end of the movie that Vitruvian Man was played by a guy named Enzo Jr., which I liked.
Oh, I don't know. He probably does a lot of like posing for like figure drawing.
Yes, I got that sense. Precisely. Yeah. Very, he like ran down from the new school like 4 p.m. figure drawing class.
So what would you give us for the male gaze?
Low. I would say like 15.
15.
Yeah, I'll go 23.
23. I'm going to go 30 just for the Johnny Lee Miller article. That's just my personal bias coming through. It happens. They did also have in a lot of like, they weren't midriff shirts, but they weren't regular shirts. It was like three quarter.
They were teasy.
It was very weird. Yeah. And who doesn't love a tease? Give it an average of 22.67, which is 1 point higher than Fried Green Tomatoes.
All righty.
Pretty good. All right, next category, entrances with pizzazz. How would you rate the entrances with pizzazz?
Honestly, very high, I think. Like, please. There's multiple scenes in this movie where somebody's like, are the cops going to come? Okay, they're not here. Oh, wait, I'm getting out of the shower. There's a gun in my face. You know what I mean? Like, the cops are making a lot of very pizzazzy entrances. Wendell Pierce, I feel like, is making a lot of, I mean...
Fisher Stevens' first one was
on the back of a limo with like a skateboard, like he's on a skateboard being dragged by like through some mist on like a street in Dumbo, and he snatches a disc. If that's not pizzazz, I don't know.
That's a lot of pizzazz. Like he did not have to be on that skateboard.
Yeah. No,
there's so much rollerblading. Yeah,
just the first time we see the plague go into his like lab. I guess he's never fear the plague is here.
Right.
And it's all shot from, we just see the skateboard at first. It's really fun.
Yeah, I would say again, pretty darn high. You know, people are bursting into places a lot.
A lot of SWAT teams, a lot of.
Yes, a lot of, I would say 85.
85.
Yeah, I'll go 82.
82. First number came to me was 75. That's just how I feel. I feel it's right. Given an average of, that's pretty good, 80.67, which is about 5 points less than Hellbound Hellraiser 2. That's devastating.
That's tough.
Quickly, that reminded me of my favorite line from the Wikipedia, which was, the cast spent 3 weeks getting to know each other and learning how to type and rollerblade.
It paid off.
What a time to be alive.
Absolutely. To get paid to type and rollerblade.
They didn't know how to type.
People didn't have computers all the time.
Yeah, no. They didn't need to know how to type because it's not like they were doing anything in particular. I feel like that's another thing I love about it is just the like keyboard mashing that's going on.
Yeah, it's not like they're playing Ray Charles. I wonder if there will be like, if the Edward Snowden movie, like did Joseph Gordon-Levitt learn like how to like, I got to really know like what I'm doing when I drag these files or like, you know, write code or something. I don't know what Edward Snowden actually did. I think he copied things to a disk.
That can't be that hard.
Control C.
Control C, eject, and then take it home.
I think they had hand models for those scenes.
I see.
Yeah.
Speaking of hand models, our next category, strident women. How would you rate Hackers on strident women?
They're pretty strident. I mean, there's only really two women in this movie.
Three, I would say.
Who? Oh, the mom.
Kate. And then the mother, who's a big part of it, I would say.
That's true.
And then Lorraine Bracco, Margot.
Right, right.
And they also have Felicity Huffman at the beginning of the lawyer, who's given
putting a lot of weight.
I love Felicity Huffman.
And I gotta admit, when Felicity Huffman first showed up, I was like, wait, I know her. And at first I was like, is that Famke Janssen? And then I wondered, oh, is that the woman from X-Files? And then I was like, oh no, it's Felicity Huffman.
Sure. I also briefly thought it was Gillian Anderson from X-Files, which really would have taken this movie at that time, especially from being a favorite movie of mine to being my favorite movie within the first
absolutely,
which is that one 2 minute scene. Yeah.
Yes. She's brought me all the way around on Margaret Thatcher, you guys.
Yeah, well, she doesn't know how Ibble Dibble works. Who could make heads or tails of that game? It makes no sense. I hate for having to identify with Margaret Thatcher.
If there's one scene you need to watch in The Crown to learn improv warm-ups, it's make it this one.
Yes. You'll save yourself $500. Watch the Ibble Dibble scene. Yeah, what do we think about? There was also Ramon's mother. That scene was very funny when he's like, arrest me already when she starts smacking him.
That's true. That's pretty strident.
Ramon's character is also just what I thought it would be like to be a cool person. You know what I mean? He's so fucking cool. Like he's just he knows a lot of stuff. He says a lot of slang terms that nobody uses. And then I do think my favorite line in anything ever that I'm reminded of whenever I watch this movie is when he's on the phone in jail and he goes, it's in that place where I put that thing that time.
Yeah.
He's cool. He's just a cool guy.
And immediately you're like, I know what he's talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Know what he means.
And you're like, as a kid, you're like, I got to remember to say that if I'm ever in trouble for hacking stuff.
Hey, guys, just in case something happens in the future, when I say that thing that I put in that place sometimes, this is what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the movie Hackers.
I need you to go to Blockbuster. I need you to rent Hackers. I need you to. Okay, great.
I think there's
a lot of different shades of stridentness. You have the Lorraine Bracco sort of like, I'm a power, you know, woman who's having it all, and I am strident. And then you also have like Angelina Jolie giving you a different shade of strident. Like, I'm going to like be getting a disc in the bathroom, and then guys are going to see me buy a condom, and I'm going to like play it off and be like, yeah, I'm buying a condom, and like do it completely non-verbally. So I would say like, it isn't rife with stridency, but I would say like 68.
68.
I'm going to go a little higher. Cause I think there's not a woman in this movie who isn't strident for a decent part of their performance. You know what I mean? Like not entirely 100% of the time, but they all are at least 50% of the time, some of them all of the time. So I'm gonna go 83.
83, 3 points higher than Bride of Frankenstein, your score. That's pretty good.
Well, there was like two women in that movie. One woman was in it for 3 minutes.
But what an impact.
What an impact.
I'm gonna give it a 75. Given an average of 75.33. All right, our next category, macabre. How macabre is Hackers? It's not very macabre,
it's
which is kind of
really
why
macabre.
I like it, because it's like there's like an effervescence to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like too fantastical to sort of be macabre.
You're never too worried about anybody, even when there's a child in like
their guns in a child's
face. You're never too worried about.
You're like, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I would say it's extremely not macabre. It's everything is just sort of like, at worst, we're gonna do like a silly prank where the sprinklers go off. Like anywhere where there's sprinklers, we can do justice.
But there is the threat of an oil spill.
That's true. Which is a very 90s threat.
Yes. Now we don't give a shit. Like we got bigger problems.
Precisely.
We should be so lucky. What I want to give for that to be our number one problem, an oil spill.
Yeah, it's very low, like in the big sort of action climax is just like Penn Jillette staring at a bunch of neon glowing towers that should be on like a Trapper Keeper cover.
Did right. you wish like that was your like your workstation though? Every yes. day you went in, you went on typed on this weird custom made neon keyboard that is not ergonomic and will kill your hands after a few hours.
He's kind
but
of
it
like
looks amazing.
He's kind of like Homer Simpson though.
Because he's just
like a guy who sits in a room in front of a computer that doesn't sure. really make sense and could potentially blow up the world, but
he's just a schlub.
Looking at numbers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he has to call somebody. He's in charge of it for some reason, but then he has to call somebody to like tell him what yeah. to do in any situation. He should know more than that. Also, he's wearing I think he's wearing literally like a security guy outfit, which is just like, why he doesn't need to dress like that. He's not like walking the perimeter.
I guess, was this back when he was the voice of Comedy Central?
Was that, I think that so. Era? 95?
Yeah.
Feels right.
Been. Oh, yeah. So he had to wear that because he was the voice of Comedy Central. It was part of his contract.
We need a distance. Yeah. So what do you want to give this for Macabre?
Very low. I would say 12.
A 12.
I'm going to say 13.
13. Yeah, I'll go 10. Giving an average of 11.67, which is about 6 points higher than Bill and Ted. All right, you're crushing Bill and Ted.
That feels right. Bill and Ted is the lowest stakes movie
ever. History right? test. That's all it is. All right, our next category. I think you're going to do very well here. Dramatic lighting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, very, this Constance. Movie has, I don't know if Ian yeah. Softley was a music video director, but this movie feels very sort of
absolutely.
Like, we've got a guy from MTV. You know what I mean? Like right. that, insofar as he has like, it's not lighting, but it, in one of the many scenes where they're like, how the fuck do we make hacking visually interesting at all
right.
when they're in Grand Central Station and like, there's like an expressionistic thing where they're in the phone booths, but they're like spinning around because they're so engrossed in hacking. And just all the neon and all this, I would say like very dramatic lighting. I would say 80, I'd say 91.
91. The only video I think he's directed, according to IMDb, is Toni Braxton's How Could an Angel Break My Heart? And that was 2 years after Hackers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
But his first credit is the Beatles movie Backbeat.
Okay.
They remember Backbeat?
I remember that. I didn't see it, but I remember ads for it.
Sure. Who could forget?
The marketing that campaign iconic for campaign. Backbeat.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of dramatic light. I mean, like you've got all the raves. There's so many times where they were at a computer where like the lights were just on their face.
Yes.
And then also there was like a actual dramatic moment of the traffic lights and then like, you know, hacking the traffic lights, which is literally dramatic lighting. So I will go 94.
94. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 93. I think it looks ridiculous, but it's also like reminded me aesthetically of like Batman Forever. It's like
yeah.
just so garish in a way, but so colorful and fun. And like, I wish worlds looked like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do you ever go to California Adventure at Disneyland, the Mad Tea Party they used to have where yeah. it was like a DJ dresses the Mad Hatter essentially. And it was like a nightclub, but in the middle of California Adventure, it was like they would project spirals and things like that. It's a lot of that similar aesthetic. I'm going to give it 93, give an average of 92.67, which is 1 point higher than Die Hard. Wow.
Okay.
Pretty great.
Just had a string of Christmas lights in that movie.
Our next category, vibrato. How would you rate Hackers in vibrato?
So for this, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime Thank they take you. A moment and they give you something extra, they sort of like zhuzh it up. So like you don't need it, but they give you more and you like it. For me, the classic example in this movie, and I when it happened, I went, now that's vibrato, was in that montage where they're all sort of like fucking over Wendell Pierce and they have his credit card is denied and the waiter brings it to the table and cuts it with a pair of scissors at the table right in front of him. Like that was not necessary. Could you imagine if restaurants actually did that? That would be horrible / amazing. But I loved it. It would
You never heard of
so
that?
Hard.
I've always like heard of that trope before though.
No, you just go, I'm sorry, your card was denied.
But you've never heard like that, oh, they'll cut your card up in front of you? Like, I've heard of that, but you've never, this is the first time that concept like came to you?
Never heard of that. That's absurd to me. You're just destroying someone else's property.
I know. Yeah,
I feel like it's not a thing that would ever happen now. And I don't know if it ever did happen, but I do feel like it was a thing when I was growing up that it was like, maybe when credit cards were less, it's literally everybody's paying for everything with like a debit card or whatever, but it was like a thing, or you would see it in commercials maybe when they're like, this credit card is bad. Yeah.
But the humiliation of it all.
Did it ever happen in real life? That's a really good question.
I don't think so. I think they just tell you it's declined and like, why do I, the waiter, have to be the enforcer of the?
Yeah, exactly. You're like... not paying me enough. And that's certainly going to reflect poorly on your tips.
Absolutely.
I would say there's a lot of vibrato that they have to do in this movie stylistically to just make hacking like interesting. Visually, like at the beginning when he's like squaring off with Angelina Jolie and they're cutting in like scenes of old movies and different like newsreel footage and weird stuff. Like there's a lot of like that kind of vibrato that they have to do.
It has the same sort of like challenge of like any movie about like writing or like composing music, where it's just like, it is visually boring to watch someone write. So you have to sort of do something to like make it be like, oh, okay, I don't mind that I'm looking at this right now.
I don't mind that I'm looking at this.
I'm not going to walk out. Ah.
The filmmakers must have been so annoyed 4 years later when The Matrix came out and they were like, make them be in the computer. They're just shooting guns at each other. But it's all technically in the computer.
Right.
Like that. They must have just been like, oh, fuck. Okay.
Sandra Bullock movie, The Net, also has like very fun representations of the internet. Like they don't really get it. Like I think she orders a pizza and like she's literally like dragging pepperoni onto the pizza with her mouth. So like, yeah, that is better. Like, is it practical? Absolutely.
Again, they made a choice. A choice is better than no choice.
But this at the end with like the final hacker battle, when they show like rabbits, like virus, you know, more rabbits multiplying and all that stuff. It's fun. Cause the actual hacking is probably so boring. It looks like nothing.
Yeah.
Like who cares? So what do you want to give this for vibrato? How extra is Hackers?
I think Hackers is pretty darn extra. I would give it a 90.
Any movie that had three soundtracks come out of it is pretty true. Extra.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, for that, I will go 93.
I think it's pretty extra. I'll give it a 92. Give it an average of 91.67, which is 1.67 points higher than Death Becomes Her. Wow. All right, next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork in Hackers? Well, there's a lot of rollerblading.
Tons of rollerblading, a lot of SWAT teams running.
A lot of Matthew Lillard like slithering. I feel like he's serpentining around everywhere.
He's kind of like the snake in Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas a little bit.
Finally, someone saying it.
In that condom scene in the bathroom where she's retrieving the disc, Angelina Jolie does a little like spin move at the, you know, like. At
yeah,
the
she
end.
Does. It's like a pivot turn.
Mm-hmm.
And the skateboarding.
Right.
Fisher Stevens skateboarding. But it's mostly a finger work movie, I would say.
That's true.
There is the fun that nightclub was like designed for rollerbladers, apparently, because there's like built-in ramps everywhere.
Oh yeah, that, especially the first, that like hacker collective that they go to at the beginning is literally what I imagined like being a teenager. What, like it was just sort of like, it's similar to the Foot Clan hideout in the Ninja Turtles movie where it's like Sam Rockwell's there to be like regular or menthol. You know, it's like there's always a skate ramp in the background and a big like video game is happening. And it just is great. But again, yeah, not a lot of like literal footwork happening.
That big line, the big like video game she plays, when I watched, I was like, shouldn't there be like a line of people waiting to do that? Like every arcade I've that's had like a big thing like that, like the people are either waiting to do it or it's too expensive and no one does it. And they're just playing Wipeout from the first PlayStation.
Yeah, you would think, but also it really seems like she like owns that machine. Like this, it's like her it's like Fonzie's jukebox. Yeah.
Right. So what do you want to give this for footwork?
I would say like, again, like I think there's good rollerblading, some nice moments of footwork, but overall it's probably like a 60.
A 60?
Yeah, I agree. Cause like there's a really excessive amount of rollerblading and like just anytime they're like, yeah. We paid them to study this for 3 weeks. Get them on the blades. You know what I mean? Like they get them on the blades. So I'll give it a 64.
64. This is no Airborne, is what I'm hearing. The definitive, the Citizen Kane of rollerblade movies.
Right.
I can't wait to see the Mank of Airborne.
Right? I gotta write this.
I also like, just quickly before we move on from the footwork of it all, that they were like, it's the 90s, so and hacking itself isn't that interesting to look at, so we also need to get some moshing in there, like when they walk right into that club and they're like, okay, they're in like a club and it seems very sort of like 90s rave whatever, and then for whatever reason you notice like, wait, why is everybody facing a certain direction? Oh, it's because there's about to be a like bad rap rock band, like a proto Rage Against the Machine is going to start,
as opposed to all those good rap rock bands.
Fair enough. And then they just start moshing, and Johnny Lee Miller briefly crowd surfs for like,
oh no, no, right, like, yeah, accidental, yeah, moshing.
And someone steals, he has like a weird orange pager that you see someone steal, but like nothing ever comes of it or it's mentioned.
That sassy extra.
That extra is like,
they call a franchise egg for Hackers too.
There you go. There was a Hackers too.
It was one of the Infinity Stones.
There was a Hackers too?
I think it was like straight to, yeah, Hackers 2 Takedown.
Straight to CD-ROM.
Maybe it's, wait, never mind. This is just a Hacker movie starring Skeet Ulrich. Never mind.
He was like, Matthew Lillard's in a Hackers movie. I need to be in a Hackers movie.
But as of in September 20, and there's an article on Collider.com in September, from September of 2020, that a sequel or reboot is being actively considered.
Oh.
So fingers crossed.
I would be so lucky.
I know. They'll never get Angelina. Or she'll show up like a digital version of her or something.
What if they get one of her kids?
Maddox?
If you wish.
Maddox is walking. Maddox is walking. Okay. Maddox flying in.
I'm going to give this 50 in footwork. Giving it an average of 58. All right. Our next category might do okay here. Animal print. That was right.
There's a bunch.
Ramon is in constant animal print.
Constant. At the very first, he had cheetah pants and a leopard shirt, which was bold, and yet he made it work.
He owned it. You got it, you know. Yeah. You wear the garment. The garment doesn't wear you. Have you ever heard that, John?
I mean, I try to, I aspire to that, but it doesn't always work.
When you buy those, you know, American Apparel t-shirt, you know, exactly. You're not the boss of me.
Sweatshop children.
There was also a woman in animal print in the
AA meeting.
Was that AA? What was
it? Was some sort of like, because they all were like, I'm an addict is all they kept saying.
But it's just general addiction? Like, I don't think that's how those meetings work. Not to say Hackers got anything wrong.
No. But
please. Or if there's any inaccuracy. Just so you know, Hackers.
For the record, that actress's name was Vicky. She said, I'm Vicky and I'm an addict.
Total
and
Vicky. I wrote that She's down. A total Vicky.
Yeah. Classic Vicky.
Vicky's love and animal print.
Wearing her animal print to her, but trying to be anonymous in her animal print. Okay, Vicky.
That scene felt like a thing that I don't think it was, I think it was like meant to be like an NA or something meeting, but it makes no sense why the kid would have to go to that for his computer addiction. Like, it feels like the kind of thing that you're like pitching out with your screenwriting partner, and then it's like in your outline. And then when you actually go to start typing, you're like, wait, this makes no sense. And I think they were just like, put it in, it'll be funny. And then he'll be like, I gotta get more coffee.
We've already cast Vicky.
Yeah, so we've got, guys, Vicky's
been
Vicky's
approved.
Tech avail. Yeah, Vicky's offer only.
Either you pay.
Maybe it was for his like really bad cigarette smoking. He like clear, I was like, you look worse at smoking cigarettes than I do. Like he was just like, like he was not good at it, but they had him do it constantly.
So what do you want to give this Hackers for animal print?
I mean, very high. Again, I think largely on the character of Freak, whom I love, who's just the epitome of cool. So I will give it a 90.
90.
I'm going to go 82.
82. I'll go 84. Why not? There's a lot of animal print here. Given an average of 85.33, which is 0.33 points higher than Last Holiday. The Queen Latifah vehicle. There Who could forget?
Mark, you said you've never hacked anything, and yet whatever you're using to calculate these and dynamically be able to see where they fall within the history of the show, you are zero.
Am I
hacking? You're Crash Override. Yeah.
I'm Crash Override? Wow. Can I be Sass Override? Maybe that makes sense.
There you go.
All right. I've never, it's just a Google Doc. Nothing too exciting. All right. Finally,
On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Hackers to a gay person? Someone comes out to you, they've been kicked out by their family. How likely are you to say you gotta watch Hackers?
The first movie you gotta watch is Hackers. Yeah, I would say, like, I think it's bats above its weight class more than you would think, given that it's the movie Hackers, but it's just sort of like, you know, I would say like it's right in the middle. It's like, I would say like maybe slightly above average, 54.
54.
Yeah, I agree. There's nothing about it that specifically like, oh, you like, there's no actual argument to be made why someone needs to watch it. However, it is like, if you're like, you need to watch a fun, stupid, silly movie, and like, I don't know, like it's, you're done with brunch, you're still a little high, you want something in the background, like Hackers is great. It's like fun. It's like a young, like one of Angelina Jolie's first movies. You got Johnny Lee Miller is nice eye candy. And even also like, you know, we're not saying that, but like, what's his name? Rinaldo Santiago and Lawrence Mason, also very nice to look at. So yeah, I'll go 57.
57. Yeah, like there's no reason to go on this, but there's also no reason to ride Space Mountain. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's the same thing to me. It's like, it's both, it's a fun time, you know?
Mark, are you still grappling with the Disneyland season pass revocation? Yes. This is your second Disney park reference of the...
It hasn't been on my radar. Like going back to Disneyland right now, wasn't even like on my radar of like, I can't wait to do that. I was like, that feels so far down the road from where we are in terms of vaccinations and stuff.
But you didn't even go there for your vaccination?
You can, in like the Toy Story parking lot. You can get vaccinated.
I thought that was not true anymore. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought they announced it and then they're like, oh, now they can't.
But I think it is true. But I am all for them thinning the herd. And I know that sounds terrible in regards to a pandemic, but I mean, just in terms of like, it has been like so packed the last few times, like there's never a slow day anymore. So I would gladly pay a little more if it's less crowded.
Oh, you mean in terms of, not in terms of the pandemic.
You don't mean in humanity. You mean
I just mean in terms of whatever the new pricing structure is going to be. Okay. Oh, I see how that
contextually
come
was,
yeah.
It sounded like you were like, I'm glad this pandemic has hit because I don't like waiting online.
You know, silver lining.
The mad tea party is just, it's it was cooler before everyone knew about it. When it was just our own intimate
little
thing.
My own little secret.
We were just doing a fun podcast about the movie Hackers, and then Mark started
advocating.
And that was when Mark got radicalized. Yeah.
Herd immunity doesn't go far enough, I say. Have you heard of no immunity? So I'm going to give Hackers a 54. I am opposed to anybody dying of COVID. Let the record state. If Disneyland went away so no one could die, I would let that happen. But that's not the world we live in. Giving an average of 55. Not bad. All right. Now we are into the wheel category.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We've put them all on this wheel, which is just an app on my phone. And we're going to spin it 4 times. And whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we're going to judge the movie. And then after that, you will come up with a category, which will be put on the wheel.
And you always say it's just an app on your phone, but I think it's much more than that. An essential part of this show.
That's true. Okay. I'll stop undermining it. All right, here we go. Potential to be a musical.
Oh, second week in a row we've
had week in a row we've had this one.
I would love a Hackers musical. Has there ever been a hacking, like a computer themed musical?
I'm not sure. I'm sure someone has workshopped one somewhere.
It honestly might make a better stage show than a movie, I feel like, just because of all this sort of like, you're naturally going to have to use sort of expressionist, weird, interesting visuals on stage.
If you get the right choreographer, this is a hit.
We get Billy Tamer, maybe?
She's not a choreographer.
But director, visuals, style.
Sure. That's true. She is a director with visual style. That is correct.
People with as dancing microchips or something? Or
maybe,
you know,
yeah.
That a floppy happen. Disk on their head.
I actually was thinking about watching it, like with like you could it could work like the music because again like it's got 3 soundtracks. You know what I mean? Like music is a big part of it. Like you could definitely do a sort of very like cool, edgy sort of. I mean, it sounds like a musical that they were writing on Smash, that TV show. You know what I mean?
We're working on the Underworld jukebox musical.
Yeah. Oh, I think you go original score on this one. You need an original score with Hackers. Oh,
I see. Okay. You don't want to use Tricky's discography? Max and Clay?
Oh, can you afford it? I don't think we've got the budget for that.
The first trance musical is very much okay. I would go like, again, weirdly high with it. I would say like 78. Yeah. I think it's more musical potential there than you would think.
And it is also one of those properties, like I feel nobody is like too attached to it. Like if you just took the name and like some of the themes and freaks, like they don't have to be high school. Like I don't think anybody would be so offended if you like messed with the story a bunch or the main characters, you know?
It's not something you'd have to be precious with,
right,
as you adapted it.
You could hack Hackers. Hello.
Hello.
And if anybody gets upset, you know, we're just, our only crime is curiosity. John, what do you think? Potential to be a musical?
I will say I'll give it an 87.
This is, you know, I'm delighted by this. Because I hadn't even thought of it. But totally, I'll give it an 82. Give an average of 82.33, which is lower than Mommy Dearest, which got 100 in this.
Okay, Waiting in the Wings.
Waiting in the Wings. Well, there's Jesse Bradford's character who's kind of wants to be like part of the crew. Part of the main hacking crew. And aren't all hackers in a way waiting in the wings of, like, they're in the sides, in the underground, they're beneath?
No, but I think they're like, I think they're doing something. If they're hacking, that's an active thing. That's not waiting.
Sure.
And I think Johnny Lee Miller has been waiting in the wings since his conviction as 12-year-old or whatever.
Really
like
chomping at the bit.
On the net. Yeah.
Absolutely. That sets the story in motion.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a
ton of waiting in the wings.
No.
Also, when I think of waiting in the wings, I know obviously in terms of like somebody waiting to have their big moment, but I also think of people watching a performance or press conference or something and go like, this isn't going well. This isn't what we, I think of Alan coming in like The Good Wife watching like and being like, no, this is bad. Like that also is waiting in the wings to me. There's very little of that.
The 18 to 24 demo is going to hate this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, very little of that. I would say 15.
15.
Yeah, I'll go 15 as well.
You know what? Let's make a pattern. I'm going to also say 15. Given an average of 15. Waiting in the Wings is from our Showgirls episode with Jeff Hiller.
Okay, The Male V.
The Male V. You familiar with the male, what we mean by the male V?
I'm not.
Like
please.
The muscle that forms above the groin, parallel almost to the belly button.
Think Brad Pitt of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right. I remember.
Have you ever Googled the term cum gutters? Maybe that would help you.
Google it. He invented it.
I just like the imagining that being on the side of somebody's van, like a handyman's van, like they'll clean your cum gutters.
I'll clean your cum gutters. Finally.
But it's literally just the thing that when like Fight Club came out, I remember my girlfriend in high school being like, that on Brad Pitt, that is like the sexiest thing possible.
He's the one. That's it. That's what we've wanted this whole time.
Yeah.
Exactly. We didn't know it till we saw it.
And just being like, I have no way of providing that whatsoever to you. There's just no.
Well, now you know how it feels to be a woman.
I feel like maybe there's some like low riding Matthew Lillard pants, like his hips are kind of out, but it's a different.
Usually from behind. He's giving us the crack.
Right.
And Johnny Lee Miller's like shirts are like kind of, they're always in like shadow when his shirt does rise, you know, it's not.
And even when they have the thing of literally like the trick sort of like, wait, it's Johnny Lee Miller that we were showing you like his crotch. It's clearly they're filming a woman and then being like, wait, it's actually Johnny Lee Miller. So he doesn't have his own physique there.
No.
I'm very low. I would say like two.
Two.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. I'll go six.
Six. Yeah, I'm going to go three. Given an average of 3.67.
This is it more than Air Bud?
I don't think that came up, but this came from our Terms of Endearment episode. So check that out.
Okay, here we go. Straight Flirting.
straight flirting. I would say anytime between
Fisher Stevens and Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah, they have this crazy like power play going on. Like, I think Fisher Stevens obviously is like attracted to Dade. So what kind of name is Dade?
She's Kate and he's Dade, and it gets very confusing very quickly.
Not Dale.
No.
Yeah. Johnny Lee Miller even says at one point, "Blow me," to which Fisher Stevens responds, "Thank you."
Right? I mean, I wouldn't know how to respond to that. I was mad at someone, they said thank you, I'd be like, oh.
Yeah,
it's really diffusing the situation.
Yeah. They're sending each other like flirty media. Like Fisher Stevens sends him that laptop with the thing on it. That's like, we're going to take over. We need each other or whatever. Yeah, I would say high. I would say 85.
85.
Yeah, I'll go 81.
81. Yeah, I'll go 82, giving an average of 82.67. All right, DC, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge how gay Hackers is and every other movie we ever review, potentially.
I would say, like, I don't know exactly how to phrase this, but like when a movie is really reaching with slang, like you get the sense that the screenwriter is like making up their own, like a little bit kind of like make, you know, like just like,
gotcha.
This is going to enter the lexicon. Like one I wrote down was one of the hacker friends says to Angelina Jolie's character about her laptop monitor, I think, "You're in the butter zone now, baby." Where I'm just like, what is the butter zone?
I don't know.
No one has ever said that, but it feels like somebody being like, this is how people talk. So I
believe
just say,
they've
like,
said it at Orville Redenbacher, but that's why it's
yes. Those raves.
The
you
annual
do not
pass,
want to be in the butter zone for those raves.
The annual pass for the butter zone is still intact. No takers as of yet.
Comes with a free slicker.
I would say like big swings with slang.
Do you think
like
the more big swings with slang make it gayer? Well, I guess it makes it campier. It's an element.
Yeah.
Of
it makes it campier. Yeah.
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 I like big swings with big swigs. Ugh. What if we just called it the butter zone and then parentheses?
The butter zone parentheses big swings with slang.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. Great. So what would you give Hackers in the
butter zone? I mean, 99. I love it. Yeah, just a lot of, you can tell them being like, this is something I've seen somebody actually say, but the actors seem uncomfortable actually saying it themselves. And then just things that seem completely made up that they're hoping will become things that people say.
I've heard like in Star Trek episodes, they'll write like insert science jargon here, like in their scripts. And then it's someone else's job to fill that in.
Oh, phenomenal.
This is like there was like a website where you could be like random word generator.
Right. But it has, like, I guess in Star Trek, like it does have to make sense on some level because, you know, people do keep track of that stuff.
That's true.
What a nightmare. John, what do you want to give this for the butter zone?
I think there definitely has a lot of fun moments in it. I'll go 87.
87. Tough. I'm going to go 95. I mean, this is such a distinct world of hacking. I think it's a lot of fun. Given an average of 93.67. All right. We're not done yet. We are now into the bonus category.
So these categories are all bonus. So we're going to go it's now from 0 to 10, but they're just extra. So if it doesn't do well, if it gets a 0, it doesn't penalize the score at all. These points are just extra.
All right, so the first one in the bonus categories, makeover montage. How would you rate Hackers in makeover montages?
I would say an 8, because there's a scene where they make over their computers for the big hacking fight. Like, it's a thing that literally will not enhance their hacking whatsoever. It's just for looks. It's just for fun, and they're gonna just feel good about them. So it's like putting on lipstick, even though you're just gonna like be working from home all day. It's like, this is just for me. You know what I mean?
Well, so much of hacking I learned is about attitude.
Yes. Oh, you know? Big time. Yeah.
A certain sense of irreverence.
And you've got it, Mark. Swagger. That's why you're hacking. Yeah. That's why you turn an average Google Doc.
Always be hacking.
ABH. Glengarry Glenn Doss. Okay, I'm gonna
all right. Maybe not always.
There's also the hacking where they're ruining Richard Gill's life. I thought that was really fun. Where they cut up sequence is really fun. I feel like this era was like from the late 80s to the mid 90s was like pre montages.
Yeah.
Oh, so
song. There's, I think there's like at least 3 montages in this movie.
Yeah.
They weren't all makeovers, but yeah, I think it's pretty montagey. I'll give it a I'll give it a 6.
A 6. I'm going to split the difference and give it a 7. Giving it an average of 7. All right, next category. Cheerworthy cameos. Were there cameos that made you stop and cheer?
Not really. I said to myself at least one time, like when there was like a British hacker that like picked up the phone at one point and was like, we got a hack or whatever.
Yeah, I know who that was.
Was it somebody?
Yes. It's Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics.
There you go. Okay. Sweet dreams. It had the feeling of a cameo, even though I didn't know who it was.
Love is a stranger.
Like, it feels like a cameo.
Thank you.
But not very many. I
and
would
Felicity
say, like,
Huffman, Felicity I would Huffman. Say.
There we go.
That's a big one. Okay. Especially anytime there's like real life scandal, because it feels fun to say, well, you know who that is. That's Felicity Huffman. And she like got buzz, went to buzz, prison. Buzz. You know what I mean? Like, that's really fun.
I would say like,
so
a,
would you
I
get
would say.
For? I think it's just those two though, right?
Yeah.
4.
Yeah, I will go.
That seems high. Yeah, like 4.
No, I'll go 4 as well. I feel like we got those two. Those are pretty solid. Penn Jillette was almost one, but he was in 2 different scenes. So that elevates him above cameo.
I would love to know why they thought the Eurythmics guy was, you know what I mean? Like, I bet at the time it was just like, they actually made a website for their band and he's really into it or something. Like, right. He's the only rock star that's on the internet.
Yeah, it would be great if all of those like international hackers were like a David Stewart of like different places. That would have been fun. Like Bjork.
That's the guy from Roxette. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 5 for Felicity Huffman. I think that one is pretty fun. And so give it an average of 4.33, which is tying it with the Family Stone. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. All right. More in common with the Family Stone than we would have thought going in.
Absolutely. Who knew? All right. The next category, pool trouble. I would rate this on pool trouble. Well, they're lied to about the pool on the roof.
I mean, I would say 10. It's a wrapper for the movie.
That's true. It's a bookend. Yeah, bookend.
It's true.
Movie, right?
That again was the thing that felt very high school to me. I was just like going into high school, like, ooh, the first day I'm going to get pranked and it's going to be so high school. It's going to be great. Pool on the roof.
And then the worst thing is when they just ignore you. Like,
yes.
Like, nobody pranked me. I was like, what the hell?
Neglect is the cruelest prank of all.
Right. And most common.
Yeah, so I'm going to say 10. I think there's a lot of pool trouble. We end in a pool. They're floating around. Yeah, it's high. It's almost, I mean, well, I guess 9. I would say the 90s Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet probably has the most pool trouble.
Well, this came from Gremlins. It came from Gremlins.
So.
I also think, I just thought of It Follows has a great scene of pool trouble. Yeah. If you ever saw It Follows. An invisible specter harasses teenagers.
Wow. I haven't seen Swim Fan, but I bet that's got a lot of pool
trouble. Oh, yeah.
Also another Jesse Bradford.
Okay.
What do you want to give this for pool trouble, John?
I'm going to give it a 2. I think like it's there, but it's like it's a passing fun moment. It's not, if you took it out of the movie, it wouldn't, the Jenga of the screenplay would not tumble if you took it out of the film.
I just saw a movie, I forget what it was called. It's like a
pool trouble.
It's pool trouble. It's from I think it's from Thailand. It's like this guy gets trapped in a pool that's been drained, an Olympic sized pool, and he's trapped in there with like an alligator.
Oh yeah,
and like it's like a holiday weekend, so nobody's there, and it's like a survival movie. I forget what it's called. It ends up being very grim, and like if you have a problem with like seeing dogs get hurt, this is not the movie to watch.
Okay. Because the alligator is really a dog.
But the concept. But if you are into that, this is the movie to watch.
Okay.
I'm gonna give this a 6 for pool trouble. I think between the two, pretty fun.
Given I just like the idea of a YouTube film critic who's cornered the market on film reviews for people that don't want to see dogs get hurt and do want to see dogs get hurt, and he's the same guy.
There is a
That's
website,
his binary review.
I think it's just called The Pool. That makes sense. There you go. Couldn't think of that. All right, next category, witches. How witchy is Hackers?
Well, insofar as like, you know, tech, it's like technology is like the new magic, like and that's one of the things that I like about this movie is it's in an era of the internet where people aren't even really aware of what it is, and like if you were, it's like you're in some secret, you know, in some secret fraternity basically. So it's weirdly witchy for what you would think. I would say
being
like 6.
Being able to manipulate the natural order of things.
Exactly.
Well, also,
like, is Asgard magic or is it just technology we don't understand? Thor would tell you it's technology we don't understand.
Oh, thank you.
If he were here.
If he were here.
I don't want to speak for next week. Thor, but...
But we did go to college together, so I have a sense of like what he's about. The first time we see Lawrence Mason, he's as Nickan. He's like wearing like that weird like robe.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's very sort of like he's about to sacrifice something somewhere. But I wouldn't say it's like super witchy, but I'll give it a 3.
A 3. Yeah, I'll give it a 4. Given an average of 4.33, which is 1.33 points higher than Fried Green Tomatoes. Okay. But tying it with Mean Girls. Wow.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well, I would say I looked up Ramon. I looked at the actor and I did find an Instagram video of him singing "This Christmas" in a sweater adorned with house keys and holding two Yorkies.
You're talking about Renoli Santiago, who plays Freak?
Yes.
He was also, I saw him in, there was a musical called The Cape Man that Paul Simon wrote that also starred, also Mark Anthony, who I haven't mentioned, is in this movie as well.
Oh.
But I did look up because I was like, he was the one who I was like, oh, I think he's gay. And I could not find anything online of him stating.
I don't think he's publicly out necessarily, but I think for all intents and purposes, once you post a video singing Last Christmas holding two Yorkies, do you even need to come out?
Yeah, I would say it has to be just like held down by the fact that no characters are being like, I'm gay or being gay. Right. You know what I mean? Like they're just sort of reading as gay. So, and then the fact that we don't have anybody that we're on the record, like, yes, this person definitively, I would say like 2.
A 2.
I'll give it a 1 because I strongly suspect that he is gay. But
and it's not a bad thing to be called gay if you're not. Who cares? Yeah.
Okay.
I'll also give it a 2. 1 for each Yorkie, giving it a 1.67. All right, next category. Themes of mothers. Well, we see a lot of mothers. Like a lot of the, we almost see all of the hackers' moms, except for Angelina Jolie's mom, who's a best-selling self-help author.
That's author. True.
And I want to know more about her.
Yeah, Fisher Stevens does say at one point about going after John Lee Miller, he says, we get the mother, we get the boy.
And then later, when after Johnny Lee Miller gives him the disc, he's like, okay, I won't hurt your mommy or whatever. You know, he really, they're
right. And he threatens to like have her strip search. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that now.
No. I did. There was also that very sweet scene where Johnny Lee Miller puts that Navajo blanket on his sleeping mother.
Yes. She's a constant presence, I would say.
Yeah. I'll say 6.
A 6.
I'll go 2.
2.
I don't think like motherhood is a big theme of hackers.
But they're around.
Sure, but are they a theme?
They hack that birthing class?
Right. There's ever a moment of like, if their mothers loved them more, they wouldn't be hackers. Like there's none of that. It's like, I'm hacking to get my mom to pay attention to me. That really comes into play in this movie.
They just have a nice relationship with their mothers.
In some cases, sure.
Mothers are loved. Is that so terrible?
It is.
I'm going to give it a 4. Give it an average of 4. All right, our next category, dramatic smoking. Well, there's Jesse Bradford's, who you called out.
Right, and Freak smokes a little bit too.
Freak, yeah.
And also that scene where Johnny Lee Miller gives that yellow disc to Fisher Stevens, there's like so much smoke like all over the street. Like it's very sort of like dramatic mood. It almost feels like this weird post-apocalyptic corner of New York City in 1996. But there's no like Betty Davis, you know, like giving a withering, you know, like put down.
That's in the director's cut, I believe.
What if that was like instead of that weird, what if it was like a Betty Davis instead of that weird kid, like that weird mod, like that the, it was
the worm,
her.
The virus.
The worm,
thing?
Yeah, the virus
the
was
yes.
Man.
They got Betty Davis.
There we go. Then I'd be a hacker.
It's going to be a bumpy drive. I don't know.
I would say a little bit. I would say 3.
3.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll go 3 as well.
I'm also going to go 3, giving an average of 3.17 points lower than Bill and Ted. Wow, devastating. Anything could happen at this point. All right, finally, this is the last of the bonus categories. Quips. How quippy is Hackers?
They're not great quips, I'll say that. Like there's a lot of sort of like blow me, thank you level, or you know what I mean? Like you look good in a dress, so would you, whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's not super it's pretty like sophomoric without being like super scatological. I would say they attempt some quips, but it doesn't.
Yeah, there's one line I think Matthew Lure says, like, we're a wake-up call for the Nintendo generation.
Oh, that's fun.
Which is like
the one I wrote down. Fisher Stevens said, there's no right and wrong, there's only fun and boring. So I was like, there
honestly,
you go.
Fair.
I could put that on a pillow.
Sure. Yeah. Instead of your live, laugh, love on your kitchen wall, you know.
But I've had that for years. Yeah, I'll go two as well.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it. It's not, there's a lot of fun dialogue, but they're not quips, I would say.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, second to last group of categories. These are the iconic categories.
So we're back to scoring from 0 to 100, and these are just larger, broader categories, sort of more umbrella categories.
All right, the first one on scale 0 to 100, how would you rate Hackers in homoeroticism?
I mean, again, as we talked about, there's the sort of like Fisher Stevens, Johnny Lee Miller kind of like cat and mouse thing. Yeah. But again, it's not male gazy, as we also discussed. Right. So mm-hmm. I would say it's pretty, you know, it's like a little below average. I would say like 42.
The meaning of life.
You have that. You also do have sort of like the weird sort of, because Angelina Jolie has like got the pixie cut and sort of has sort of like a, you know, sort of presents
like an androgynous
androgynous or boy. And then there's also that thing of like, whoever wins this bet with her and Johnny Lee Miller, that person is wearing the dress. And there's so like, there's something there that almost gender. Sort of feels that, right. But I don't think
Razor
it's like,
and Blade together. They're kind of like, are they brothers? Are they lovers? I mean, that's a whole
right.
Tumblr.
They're seen very Akbar and Jeff, those two.
Yeah,
I'll go, but I don't think it's really there at all. I'm going to have to go 23.
Also, 23. There's like that, the one part, because I did really enjoy, and I was like, oh man, this is just the perfect, as we talked about, 90s montage that I would have like loved as a preteen and still really enjoy the like energy of. There, the one like sour note in it is when there's being like, they're putting a personal out for Wendell Pierce, and it's yes. super like kind of yes. transphobic-y, weird, like this absolutely. Cross-dresser's welcome or
oh,
whatever.
Right, yeah.
Right.
And Wendell Pierce's performance getting those calls is very funny. It's just a bummer that that's kind of the setup for it. That doesn't feel very homoerotic. It feels just kind of gay panicky.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, what's up to me? It's not very homer. I'll give it a 20. Given an average of 28.33, which is 1 point lower than The Brood.
Okay.
All right. David Cronenberg's The Brood. Next category in the iconic over-the-top wardrobe. I think it's pretty over-the-top. Everything yeah. Matthew Lillard is wearing.
I literally wrote, what is Matthew Lillard wearing? And then just repeated that seven times.
Yeah, he has like tiny glasses and weird little like Velvet Underground band t-shirts and stuff, and everything Freak wears, everything all of their friends wear, the sort of like bikery, leathery 90s like motocrossy stuff that Johnny Lee Miller and Angelina Jolie wear. I think the looks are pretty, are off the charts. I'm gonna say like 89.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I agree. I think it doesn't like, I feel like it's like just a step like behind like going into like Crazy Town. You know what
it's
I mean?
Not
like
Fifth Element.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's like you could actually wear these things. So yeah, I'll go 88.
John, I would love to see an oversized shirt with the JVC logo emblazoned on it.
Well, my birthday's
in
July.
I also did like that they put Richard Gill in like this like almost Men in Black style like suit, like to really make him stand out from everyone. Oh, he is like the man. You know what I mean? He's like the government. I thought that was like a
super
really
square.
Fun choice. Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I'll give this 89 as well, giving an average of 88.67. All right, the last in the iconic categories. Camp factor. How campy is Hackers?
Again, I think it has a lot of unexpectedly campy stuff with the slang and the looks and the aesthetic and the just over the top stuff that they have to do to make hacking seem cool, and the lighting. I would say, and it just the whole, the just the sort of like frothiness of what they're doing and the over the topness and the just kind of like very heightened world that they're in. 90.
A 90.
90.
Yeah, I agree. It is very like silly and absurd. It's not like super camp. I mean, I'm going to go 81.
81. All right. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Wearing a beret to your son's criminal sentencing. Imagining the world as just circuits, man. Hacking while wearing sunglasses. Using Eddie Vedder as an alias. Late 90s hackers used to be called cool things like acid burn, but now they go by Kim.com. The briefest period of time when rollerblading was considered alternative. A sassy teacher wearing cargo shorts. Being peer pressured to do a righteous hack. Any shot from the point of view of the internet, calling someone a boner as an insult, Mark Anthony in a dramatic role, destroying a hacker's boombox, sudden female nudity, a DJ is just playing the record as is, being blown away by a 28.8 modem, am I right? Movies that go too hard with teens and their band posters, unwilling stage diving, Lorraine Bracco doesn't get hacking until you compare it to cancer, dramatically spinning telephone booths. The climax is a bunch of visual digital nonsense that is very fun to look at. Eugene Belfort's disguise on the plane and finally waiting until you're midair to arrest someone. So I think it's pretty hacky. I think I'm also going to give it a 90. I think it's pretty.
Oh, and I think writing anything in the New York skyline has got to be on there.
Yeah, that's true. Buildings.
You guys live in New York. Do you ever do that?
Doesn't seem too expensive.
Oh, it's expensive. Is that the problem?
Yeah.
That's the
barrier. New York City. Yeah.
It's like by the time you're like, when you're in New York, you don't have writing stuff in the New York skyline money. It's when you're hopefully in LA and you've been there for a while.
Right, when you go back
to have things written in.
But then all of your friends have already moved to LA, so who's gonna see it?
Just,
so
what's the point? Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those things. The timing never syncs up.
That's too bad. All right. Finally, now we are into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate them. It's either yes or no, and we all agree.
Gotcha. Perfect.
All right. 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Hackers have a positive portrayal of homosexuality? I don't think we can.
Yeah, I would have to say no, just because no one really actually confirms that they are gay. Despite all the animal print that that he wears.
Despite razor and blade.
No.
They do think, the one thing I did like, except for like the cross-dressing, they don't make any like gay stuff, the gay aspect feel weird. You know what I mean? Like Razor and Blade are never looked down upon. They're made to look like the coolest people of all. Like they're the top of the pyramid, which I did appreciate that. But it's more a positive portrayal of hacking more than anything.
True.
Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not be penalized 50% of its points.
All right. We are done. How do you think you did, DC? Where do you think you ended up percentage-wise?
I would say... I would say probably somewhere in the low 60s. No, all low 50. I think like high 50s, low 60s.
All righty.
All right, I will tell you exactly where it ended up. Out of a total possible 2,389.33 points, Hackers has scored 1,606 points, giving it a percentage of 67.22, making it the 25th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Cruising, but gayer than Meet Me in St. Louis.
Than Meet Me in St. Louis?
Okay. I think for the 90s of it all, I think it's fine.
I'm going on the record and say that Hackers is not gayer than Meet Me in St. Louis.
The math doesn't lie. Well, that I guess Meet Me in St. Louis was the older score. We've updated the scoring system.
That's true.
It is a myth that the Stonewall riots coincided with Johnny Lee Miller's concert at Carnegie Hall. That didn't actually happen.
Yes. Wow. I think that's a delightful placement. It really made me laugh when I saw it. DC, thank you.
What a delight.
What a fun movie.
So much fun.
Fun person to talk about it with.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for giving me a chance to revisit this this ridiculous film. May the internet be more like Hackers in the future rather than less.
There's better fonts. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Sure. I have a podcast called Stay for Dinner. It is about home cooking and everything that food and cooking are related to, and it comes out on Tuesdays.
Fabulous. Everybody should check that out.
Definitely.
All right. And we'll be right back.
We're back.
Were you a fan of Stereo MCs?
Sure.
Oh, you don't I love a bass line.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you like the music in Hackers?
Like, I did. Honestly, while listening to it, while watching it, I was like, oh, I could see this as a musical. Like, I think it could work.
Yeah, has there been like because do you remember like electronica? Yes. I just imagine you like listening to like Norah Jones during this time.
Oh, no, I don't know any Norah Jones. How dare you? No, but I thought it was, again, like, I know, I do not think this movie is gayer than Meet Me in St. Louis, but I did, it was really fun, and I did enjoy watching it, yeah. And I could, like, if someone were to, like, put it on, I wouldn't be like, ugh, this, I would be like, okay, you know what I mean, like, I could definitely
this over a funny girl, but that's not saying much for me.
No, that's not for you, no, exactly.
No.
speaking of people who would say stuff, we got some reviews here, how's that for?
Wow, and you told in my segues. The gall.
We've got a review on iTunes from P asterisk 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 lover. I'm pretty sure it's pizza lover. Pizza. My guess. Pizza lover. Yeah. They say, I can't get enough. 5 stars. The fake titular theme songs. Okay. Scandalized 50 and impressions of straight guys are worth the price of admission all on their own. The fact that sometimes you get all 3 in one episode makes this a can't miss. Run, don't walk to your nearest internet connection device and subscribe to this podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, ostensibly, if they're reading that review, they're already on an internet-connected device.
Exactly.
So not to nitpick, pizza lover, but
got a few notes.
That's fine. That's I don't remember nice. The last time we've impersonated straight guys.
I think we. I mean, we made it. That was sort of like our New Year's resolution to be nicer to straight people. Is that?
That was not mine.
We also have an email from Timothy, and he says, hello, in these trying times, I'm so appreciative of y'all's podcast. Just a delightful blend of comedy and sass. I never get tired of it. I live for Mark's list of camp things. And then he says, brother, this is only at the Labyrinth episode, so I hope this bit continues. Spoiler alert, it does. The banter you two share is dynamite. This is the top of my podcast list, and we'll stay there for a while, I'm sure. Please keep it up. Goodbye. From Tim. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. That's so nice. That's
very sweet. We love hearing stuff like that.
We have no intentions of quitting anytime soon.
We've got nothing better going on.
There's nothing else happening.
Certainly not these days. So thank you so much. If you guys have any questions or thoughts or anything you want to tell us, you can email us at twooldqueens. That's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. Oh, and follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current rankings. I was just thinking, like, regular listeners probably stop listening at this point.
Probably.
I would.
Well, sure.
But anyways, I don't know. Put a pin in that.
Do you want us to like start putting something in here at the end so that people like you have to say listen?
I don't know.
Let us know if you guys have any ideas. Email us. Tell us what we can do as a sort of secret Easter egg at the very
let
end
us know
of every
if
episode.
You never listened to this part. Yeah.
We'll know. Yes. Also, if you do get a chance to rate, review us on iTunes, it really helps people find the podcast and helps with the algorithm, however that works. We're trying to hack that algorithm.
We also
have got merch. You go to tpublic.com and search for Two Old Queens. We've got a lot of fun stuff you could buy there. And we also have a Patreon. If this feed is not enough, you can go to Patreon and look for Two Old Queens, the retirement plan, where we do lots of other fun, similar projects. Right now, we are finishing up our cinematic Sondheim, looking at some of the movies of Mr. Stephen Sondheim.
That's right.
Check that out.
All right. We'll see you next time. We don't know what's happening next week. You'll find out when we
follow us on social medias and you'll find out. You'll get a heads up.
There you go. All right. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen,
artwork by Connie Shin,
and special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.